This podcast is for information only and should not be considered legal advice. There is no representation that the legal services to be performed by LOCA are better than the services of other attorneys. There is no guarantee of the outcome. Success is rendered on a case-by-case basis. This podcast. I'm your host, Tim Markley from K. Altman Law, and you're listening to Episode 5. School's been in session now for several months, and we're seeing a rise in student calls. Students, unfortunately, continue to get in trouble, and they're asking for help. Now, you may have gotten into a bit of trouble yourself, and that's why you're listening to us. You think you can handle it, but you'd be surprised to know that you might need some help or even a lawyer. At K. Altman Law, we talk to hundreds of people who discovered that what they thought was no big deal is turning into a life-altering event. Students who thought they could work it out with the school are being expelled, suspended, or placed on probation. This podcast will discuss those issues and tell you where to find help and explain how the system works. As I said, this is our fifth episode, and we continually work to improve our content and processes. We appreciate your feedback and suggestions, and you can email comments to me at timothymarkley@kaltmanlaw.com. Today's topic is the emotional impact of student discipline issues. This is an overlooked aspect of being accused of misconduct. The threat of losing years of hard work to a false allegation can be truly debilitating. We've worked with students who are in their last year of medical school, PhD students who are in danger of failing out. They face huge debt with a little possibility of being able to repay it if they're found responsible. Dealing with these overwhelming issues by yourself can take a huge mental toll. For students accused of a Title IX violation, the emotional burden can be simply overwhelming. Joining me to discuss the issue is Tanner Brooks. Tanner has a background in education and counseling before coming to K. Altman Law. He worked with trauma victims and offers keen insights to the emotional impact of student defense. Tanner, welcome to the podcast. Before we jump into the questions, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in student discipline.
Yeah, thank you. I did my graduate degree in international studies and diplomacy, actually, but I found after that that I was gravitating toward education, nonprofit sector, et cetera. So I worked in K through 12 with students with learning disabilities for a bit, taught at the college level, did some political nonprofits, and ended up most recently in crisis intervention and suicide prevention counseling. I kind of had a front row seat in that in a lot of my work to stresses that young people are going through right now, incredibly right now with COVID-19 and the general situation in our country, a lot of uncertainty in general. So, you know, the student issues and this position of the firm really attracted me because it kind of merged what I was looking into. And this is student discipline is a very key kind of crux where students' anxieties, stresses, hopes for achievement can really kind of come to a fore. And it's a critical time to support them.
All right. Now, before we jump into the actual issues around the mental health piece, tell me, if a student's found guilty of plagiarism, cheating, what potentially happens to that student?
You know, the first thing I think of is a case we had recently where a student on a basic 101 class paper did not put quotations around a single sentence. And that resulted in eventually a suspension, a zero, which dropped his GPA completely down, threatening his ability to go to grad school. He lost his scholarship. I think it was a $15,000 scholarship or so, really sent him into a state of, you know, crisis in his confidence. And just disheartened in general. So, you know, and this was an honor student. So, you know, a lot of these policies with cheating and plagiarism in particular can be fuzzy and hard to fight. Schools have their position and they want to stick to it. And a lot of times administrators will defer to the faculty who will really dig in their heels and be aggressive against students. So it really is essential to make a case, build a case for a student, you know, that they're, it can be as simple as miscommunication and a plagiarism issue, but in terms of cheating as well, students, particularly with online education too now, are facing some gray areas in what isn't considered cheating. Foreign students encounter this as well a lot in their work. And, you know, cheating allegations, as they may see be a simple mistake by on a student's part, often are, but the consequences can be expulsion and everything that goes with that.
All right. So this can cause a lot of mental issues for students. It can create a lot of stress. Is the school helpful? I mean, do they offer counseling and other things to students to possibly tap into?
They do. Most universities will offer some kind of counseling service. Depending on the school and the resources available, it may be somewhat adequate, but often is inadequate. There's a huge demand. A lot of the counselors are not particularly trained in these fields, especially psychiatric remedies, and the resources aren't there. You know, across the board in the country, that's the case, whether it's a national suicide hotline or higher education, there's just not the resources available that kids need.
So how do students end up coping then if they're not getting the professional help they might need?
Well, they're coping the best they can, and, you know, positive and negative ways. You know, the best way to cope in a lot of these situations is through support, peer support, family support, getting professional support, those kind of things. But, you know, with the stigma surrounds mental health, and because there are limited options, students can feel ostracized. They can fall into a hole and increasingly isolate themselves. They can turn to drugs and alcohol, which only compounds the problem. So, you know, there can be a spiraling effect here when, you know, students don't find a positive coping mechanism. And, you know, a lot of times these issues, the severity of facing the, you know, college itself, but also any student disciplinary action can be something they're not prepared for, and they really don't know how to have the coping mechanisms to manage it.
Well, it would seem logical then that this would impact beyond just the potentially the class they're being accused of cheating in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these we see clients all the time that have, you know, whether they have pre-existing mental health issues or whether this just creates a new issue. People aren't prepared to face it. And it can be daunting. And having an advocate, you know, someone supports you, someone to share, communicate with, and let you know where you're at. Even just basic listening can be essential. And, you know, unfortunately, students have a certain amount of shame when there are disciplinary issues or academic issues, and they don't necessarily want to share that with other people. So it can lead to the isolation that, you know, it kind of exacerbates issues.
So how does working with an attorney or an advisor help them?
You know, there's so much confusion in this process. You know, a lot of students will come to us and they're very upset. They're very confused. What are they facing? They don't know what they're getting into. There's a real palpable fear. And that's not necessarily surprising because a lot of these college policies can be pretty opaque and vague about what exactly the students are facing. So that can trigger things. You know, like in any difficult situation, especially young people, need a guide and an advocate, someone that can stand shoulder to shoulder with them and help them through the process, you know, and not only to create the best possible outcomes for them, although that's essential, but there's a capability that needs to be maintained in a student because they can really start to doubt themselves, question their abilities, question whether they even have a right to be in school with certain charges. So keeping them, you know, centered is essential. And I think working with another person, you know, having any source of support is going to be a real advantage in that situation.
Can you give me some examples of students that you've dealt with without going into specifics of how they were impacted by this process?
Yeah. You know, we've had cases that involve situations such as, you know, students in K-12 who get into physical fights. They may have mental health issues, and the whole experience really, you know, can drop them to a level where they can't gain readmission, even, you know, if their appeal is successful and they are granted readmission. So they're forced to stay out even longer. And that kind of isolation we know from COVID-19 doesn't help students' mental well-being at all. You know, we have across the board, we've had PhD students who've been accused of falsifying their data, and they're, you know, they're six or more years into finishing their degree, and at the dissertation stage, they're being told that they may not be able to graduate. You know, some have families, children. It's a huge threat, and it completely, completely shakes them and their futures. You know, we've also had situations where students come to us and they have, you know, whether it's ADHD to, you know, borderline personality disorder, they're going to be challenged in that situation. There are going to be stressors that bring that up. And we've had situations in cases where the student's been so upset by the situation, they really can't represent themselves and advocate for themselves effectively. So having an advocate in that situation, working with them, can really, you know, regardless of the outcome, can keep them really kind of composed so that they can move forward, you know, whether they have an expulsion and they move on with their life or whether they stay in school.
Yeah, we often deal with students who are angry. How does that factor into this equation?
Anger is clearly, it's an emotion. It has its purpose, but it's not helpful in the student discipline process. No. You know, in most of those situations, the anger is a manifestation of the frustration they're feeling and the injustice they're feeling about the accusations against them, mostly, but many times because they are misplaced and they feel like they're not listened to. And the bureaucracies at a lot of schools can be very unyielding and not interested in listening to the individual factors in any student's case. So mitigating that anger in our work is essential. And we do work with you know, our clients here, trying to make sure that they understand that the emotions are valid, but they're not productive when applied to appealing or fighting for them, you know, through the process.
And some students, they want to just deny this didn't happen, and they ignore the disciplinary charge. What's the consequences of doing that?
You know, usually the consequences are not good. You know, some students will compound that issue with ignoring a disability issue or a mental health issue, that will continue, to present problems. But, you know, ignoring the situation, as we know, will not make it go away. That will only lead to getting a piece of paper down the road that says you've been expelled, suspended, you know, you're maybe on probation. And, you know, if you ignore the process, you're not leaving yourself many options when the process is done. If you're involved, if you understand, if you make your case, you know, if you have someone working with you, not only does that give you a sense of composure and kind of agency throughout the process that gives you a sense of confidence or gives these students some confidence in that situation, but you're looking at, you know, without participation in that process, you have no buy-in, you have no influence. And you know, the truth is that these processes can be influenced. There's no set outcome for student discipline hearings or adjudication. You can have a large effect. A student can, and working with an advocate, can have a large effect on what kind of outcome they get. And even if they're found guilty of something, the sanctions can be relative. And getting a decrease in that can be really helpful for their future.
Okay, so now you're not an attorney, but you work within a team that has attorneys. So what's really your role in helping these helping our clients or students?
Yeah, well, with considering my background, you know, I bring that kind of a broad swath of education experience. So I can both get inside a student's shoes, understanding things from their level, but also come from the other side, the administrative side and the teaching side, you know, see what perspectives are there. We can use just basic critical thinking too, to try to break down an issue, work with the student, you bring them up with their best defense. And, you know, student discipline it's not a case law. It's not a criminal law issue. It's its own kind of animal. And it is a quasi-legal space where, arguments, influence, regulations matter, but so does making personal appeals and representing a student and, you know, demonstrating what they're going through and, you know, really telling their story. So that can be something that our team is really effective at. We bring that legal expertise on one side and then the professional educational expertise on the other. And I think that gets good results for us.
So I'm a parent or a friend, and I know they're in trouble. What are the signs I should look for that it's more than just simple stress they're dealing with in these situations?
Yeah, it can be difficult. You know, a lot of signs that students are going through, you can see them. They're erratic behaviors, something unusual, whether it's reckless behavior or whether it's not being able to get out of bed. They can become withdrawn, loss of interest in previous activities, you know, a flat affect, poor grades, drug and alcohol use. And these can be things that parents can't always see. So, you know, and as always, but in these situations, particularly when a parent is suspicious that there's something going on they may not know about, you know, students can be ashamed in these kind of situations, and they may not want to share that they're under a disciplinary process or they're having academic problems. So really maintaining a non-judgmental space with the student, making them feel accepted, heard, recognized, you know, these are all essentials, because students can rarely deal with what they need to effectively alone. They need the support of parents, they need the support of their community, and someone who can fight for them throughout that process.
And that's got to be difficult in some cases where the student's still on campus and the parent is miles away, sometimes states away.
It is. And we've had cases, I've had cases with students who, unfortunately, it gets to the point where they have to leave campus and go home. Because they haven't been sharing what they've been going through, and it hits a critical snap point. You know, parents checking in on students, not making assumptions. They, you know, a student will probably say they're doing well, everything's going great. And as we know, especially with people with mental health concerns, they can put on a very good facade about how they're doing, and a pretty face to the world about that covers up what, you know, is really a deep struggle. Particularly freshman year can be very difficult for students. And we know from the statistics that a third of all undergraduates don't finish their degree. You know, the dropout rates are very high. You know, further research I've looked at that says that 73% of students have a mental health crisis during college. There's a lot of feelings of being overwhelmed. And, you know, 20 to 25%, based on what research you're looking at, report that students will be sexually assaulted or face some sort of sexual harassment while in college. And that can throw things into, you know, a lot of confusion. And so parents checking in on their kids just on a, you know, it doesn't have to be a day-to-day basis. It depends on the relationship, but keeping some transparency and making them feel like they can communicate is pretty essential.
All right, so let's wrap up with this question. If you're a student, you're facing these difficulties, and the university support is there, but it's not what you need, where can they turn for help?
You know, the we're all not always as lucky with our friends as others, but peer support is critical. K through 12, things have gotten so bad in a mental health sense that there are suicide prevention peer support groups where you can find help through those kind of people and other kids that have been through it. It's student-led, et cetera. I think there are those on college campuses as well. Of course, looking to family, if that's a possibility. Professional supports, you know, a lot of areas have teaching hospitals. They also have free counseling clinics that can be looked into, whether they have insurance or not. The school may have counseling services like we talked about. You know, there's, if it's really reached a critical level, then calling a crisis line or a suicide prevention line can be very, you know, essential to walk a situation back when it has reached a point where a student feels like they've lost their coping mechanisms. But mitigating things in a smaller way, of course, can help reach it getting that critical. So taking proactive steps is essential. And that can be as simple as calling 211 on your phone and saying, you know, look, I'm looking for free mental health support in my area. And, you know, that can be difficult in rural areas. But if a student's in a metropolitan area, there often are clinics, psychology clinics that will offer some sort of support. And that those can refer you to potentially doctors that may be able to help as well. So support is out there. It can be tricky to track down, and you have to be proactive. It's not going to find a person. But the low-hanging fruit, of course, is the communities that we're in, whether that's our peers, you know, teachers, if you're in a faith community, you know, going to that community, anywhere you can find a receptive ear and some understanding.
All right. Tanner, thank you. And to anyone listening to this podcast, going through a student discipline issue can be a tough process. Reach out to those folks around you. So, Tanner, thank you for being with us. We look forward to bringing you back to discuss other issues in the student defense realm. And finally, if you get in trouble, you should seek professional advice. The school or the university has complex rules, policies, and procedures to govern the process. They have a legal staff to advise them. You should as well. Thank you for listening to the Legally Blind Justice podcast. If you have a legal question, give us a call at 1-888-984-1341 or check us out on the web at kaltmanlaw.com.